let's convene the meeting. And it's on the stream. Let me make sure it's on the stream.
We had a very good time there. So, okay. Hold on. We're going to, we want to compliment you.
Who's got noise going on?
It was Myla. Okay,
so, I am Susan Young. This is chair of the Pacifica National Board. This is the teleconference meeting of April 2nd, 2026. The time is 8:33 Eastern Time. And I think that Julie isn't here yet. So I'll go ahead and call the roll. Teresa Allen. Not here yet. Kaja Brown. Don't hear Kaja. Donna Carter.
Present.
Fred Dodsworth.
Present.
Jerome Edge. Don't hear Jerome. Sally Gellert. Don't hear Sally. Jan Goodman.
Here.
Julie Hewitt. I think she'll be late. Avelia Jones. Don't hear her yet. Zach Colvier.
Here.
Sean Kelly McPherson.
I am today.
Good. And who are you other times? Okay. Darlene Pagano.
Here.
Ron Pinchback.
Here.
Myla Reason.
I'm here.
Okay. Serene Roberts. Let's see. James Sagerton.
Here.
Minerva Sanders.
Present.
Okay. Let's see. Harvey Wasserman. Not hearing. Dennis Williams.
I am here.
Great. Thank you. Michael Woodson.
Here.
Susan Young, I'm here. So that we have, Madam Chair, we have quorum. And Julie is almost here. Others here, Stephanie Wells.
Here.
Okay. There is Julie. Okay, Julie, I'm about to turn stuff over to you. We got through the roll call. Aki Tanaka.
I'm here.
Okay, great. And Darlene, now you're a voting member, but will you be willing to be timekeeper?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Point of order.
What's your point?
Can you identify who's 20? Oh, there it is. Never mind. It just identified itself.
And so, Julie, will you say hello?
Hi, I'm here.
Good. Okay. I'll go ahead and read the agenda. Preliminary items, 5 minutes. Call to order by the chair. Roll call by the PMB secretary. Report out from March 5th. And I will read that. The PMB met in executive session and passed a motion accepting the recommendation of the audit committee regarding selection of an auditor. D, excused absences. Timekeepers, I've asked Darlene, agenda approval for the open portion of the agenda, 5 minutes, minutes approval for February 5, 12, and March 5, meetings, 5 minutes, executive director report and Q&A, 30 minutes, committee reports, audit, finance, governance, and personnel, and unfinished business, motion on raising minimum fee, membership fee, motion from Serene Roberts on informed directors, motion from Serene Roberts on money out of Pacifica elections, new business, 5 minutes, motion to move into closed session, time no later than 9:30 Eastern time. Is there a motion to accept the agenda?
So moved.
Okay, Fred moved. Is somebody second?
I'll second.
Great, Zach seconds. Is there any objection? Hearing none, we'll move forward. We have the call to order. We have the report out. Excused absences. Madam Secretary, have you received any requests for excused absence?
I hadn't as of 2 hours ago.
Neither did I. I think we have at least one recent addition. I think that's Harvey's phone. Harvey, will you say hello? Harvey P., please acknowledge that you are corporeal. We'll get back to him when we can. Okay, Serene Roberts.
Present.
Yeah, Serene is present. Okay, and we'll wait to hear from, we'll go ahead and hear from Harvey when we hear from him. Minutes, approval, the minutes for February 5 and 12 and March 5 have been distributed. Are there any changes? Hey, Harvey, say hi. Apparently not. Are there any changes? Okay, we'll move on. You want to be listed as abstaining, don't you?
Abstaining on all.
Got it. Serene abstains. All right. Executive Director.
Chair, may I be recognized, James?
Yes.
I haven't read them yet, so I should abstain as well. Thank you.
Okie dokie. Okay. Executive Director, take it away.
Thank you. Everybody received the, or it was sent out, so check your inboxes if you haven't opened it up yet. The ED report for this meeting, both the confidential and the shareable reports are attached. Thank you to the board members who said, well, go ahead and just send them both at the same time and just watermark the back, confidential and shareable. I've done that for the past few meetings and it seems to be working. So thank you for that recommendation. As we go through, we are still moving forward with completing our taxes for our fiscal years. The accounting firm that was engaged to do that is working diligently, and we should be able to see for review, hopefully very soon, the 23 and the 24 taxes, and then we'll start working on the 25s. We'll be talking about the audit and the prep for the audit, I think, later on in the meeting, and we again have all the information that is ready and needed for the fiscal year ending 23 audit, as well as the fiscal year 24 audit. So we're just waiting for the firm to be chosen. One of the things you'll see in the EDA report as well, that an announcement was sent out to the board and to staff just this past week, is that we have appointed an independent national election supervisor for the 2026 Pacifica National Board and local station board elections. The person is Miss Anya Lovest. She is a member of the National Association of Election Officials, a certified election registration administrator, and also holds a certificate in election administration. She's done almost more than 2 years experience, of experience in administering elections. The proposal that she sent in response to the RFP is attached to the confidential NES, or the confidential ED report. So you can look through all of those details and the experience that she's had. So she'll be reaching out to everyone within the stations very shortly. The election website is being updated as well very soon, and she can be reached at the same email address we've used in the past, which is nes@pacifica.org. We also named two general managers for WPFW and WBAI. So those announcements also were sent to everybody on the staff, and there's a much deeper bio of both of the new people in the EDA report. For WPFW, we are very happy to welcome Shana Lonoa-Ea. She is from Hawaii. She's been in Washington, D.C. for quite a few years, though. She's a very strong community organizer who has decades of experience bringing people together across movements and is very adept at working with collaborative communities in Washington, D.C. She's been a listener of WPFW for quite some time and also a volunteer. Her first day was on Monday, and we are very happy to welcome her to the station and very thankful for Miyuki's work as the interim general manager of WPFW. And Miyuki is also going to be just kind of hovering around for the next couple of weeks to make that transition. We also officially selected Bob Hennelly as the general manager of WBAI. He has been working in the role as interim general manager for quite some time, and we now have made him the general manager. There's also a little bio and pictures in the ED report as well. Another thing that we did, and again, announcement was sent out to the board and staff members, is that we have been working with a national news team with news directors and producers and programmers from across the network for quite some time now as we've done the national broadcasts. But we did name Ursula Rudenberg from the affiliates and Robert Hennelly from WBAI to serve as the Pacifica News Startup Coordinators. And that is just adding a greater sense of organization to the great team that we have. And what they're doing is that they are working with Pacifica management, station leadership, producers, and affiliate partners as they assess the network's current news production capacity and then develop a framework for strengthening our national news collaboration across stations and affiliates. So we have a great team that has been working together on meeting every week, and we've been doing this for quite a few months now, who organize, produce, and plan for our national broadcasts, as well as what it looks like as we grow and develop these national broadcasts in the future. And that team has included Ursula Rudenberg, again, the Pacifica Affiliate Network Director, Bob Hennelly from WBAI, Lauren Schmidt, who was the KPFA News Director, Jeannie Hopper, who was a reporter liaison that has been working with the affiliates for a while, but the national office has hired her to work as the liaison between the affiliates and that are on the field when we have these national reports and our station reporters, Jenna Flanagan, who was a reporter for WBAI, Sue Goodwin, who was the WPFW News Director, John Amella, who is our Compliance Director, and then also joining the meetings are Antonio Ortiz, who's the KPFA Interim GM, Ace Eswick, who is the KPFK Assistant GM, and then Shayna, who is the new WPFW General Manager, and I attend as well. So one of the things that was great that our organization did on the 28th was a day of national coverage, Pacifica national coverage of the No Kings Day protest. So on March 28th, we delivered a full day of coordinated national coverage of the No Kings Day protests, and we provided our listeners across the country with the shared real-time broadcast experience. The broadcast spanned all six U.S. time zones. It featured 26 paid reporters, that we paid, the national office paid for with a generous donation that came through connections that Bob Hennelly had in New York, and we were able to pay our affiliate field reporters for the day. We had regional co-anchors. We had dedicated production and engineering support as well. The special programming was produced by, served as the executive producer was Robert Hennelly, and the main host for the entire day was Jenna Flanagan. So the live broadcast was branded as Pacifica National Coverage at the top of every hour, and then it featured comprehensive reports from protests that were taking place nationwide. And again, it started in New York and moved into Washington, D.C., moved all across the country, and we concluded with reports from Alaska and Hawaii. It was wonderful to be able to have these live reports from the affiliate stations and field respondents, and we had feeds from sound stages that were having events in St. Paul and Berkeley and quite a few other locations. We had, as we transitioned across the country, we relied on our affiliate stations to be able to serve kind of as a stopping point virtually as we moved across. So we started at WBAI. We then were broadcasting from KFAI in Minneapolis, WFKFAI in Minneapolis, WFNU in St. Paul, KGNU in the Rocky Mountains, and ended at KPFA in Berkeley while pulling those live segments from Alaska and Hawaii. So it was a great day. If anybody had the opportunity to be able to listen to it, we are putting together highlights from the day, and those will be available as part of a program we decide on WBAI. So it was a actual wonderful day that went really quite smoothly, because I believe this is the third time that we've been able to do live coverage like that. We are looking to do possible network-wide live coverage again on May 1st with any events and protests, and again bringing together stations and our affiliates to deliver that comprehensive reporting from across the country. This national news team is also coordinating network-wide planning for special Earth Day programming on April 22nd, trying to maybe not do something that's live across the stations, but to be able to have at least a theme across the day that would be environmental, and again, sharing content. We're also in a pre-production planning for America's 250th anniversary special that's kind of questioning democracy. Where is it? Where is it now? That's being developed and spearheaded by Sue Goodwin and the WPFW team. So we will continue to keep everybody updated as that happens. The same team also launched, again with the leadership of WBAI and the affiliates, a daily global headline news service. So every Monday through Friday, we have updates from across live updates that are delivered three times per day across all of our stations and our digital platforms. The national office has hired a reporter who had been working with WBAI. His name is Jesse Lent, and he is based in the Netherlands. And so what he is doing is starting the day off with a 5-minute international headline segment, and it's called From Across the Nation and Around the World. And Jesse files this comprehensive report by 6 a.m. Eastern, which then enables timely coverage for the rest of the stations to be able to have overnight global developments ahead of the East Coast broadcast day. And then as the day progresses, we then update it, if need be, at WBAI by 6:30. We have then moved to additional headline segments that are come out at noon that are produced by KPFA, and then at 5 that are produced by WPFW. Quite a few of the affiliates are picking up these news feeds, so it's been extremely popular and successful. If you want to listen to the headlines, not only can you hear them at your own stations, if you listen to your own station, but they can also be found streaming as they come out live on the homepage of WBAI. So in the ED report, there's just a little banner that I put in of the front page of their website, and then circled what that section looks like that you can click on and listen to at any time. We have also officially rolled out the internal team directory, and thanks very much to Otis McClay for designing this application. And again, we've talked about this, or I've talked about this one time before, but what we're doing is that because we have so many wonderful volunteers and volunteer programmers and producers and people that are filling in doing, work at the stations as volunteers, we really need to have a system that is a centralized, reliable directory so that we can not only keep track of all of our volunteer programmer hours for in-kind value reporting, but also that we can verify the volunteer hours and participation for the Pacifica-wide elections that are coming up. We also want to be able to distribute information to all of our programmers and our volunteers related to trainings, any organizational updates, internal announcements, and we've never really had the ability to have a consistent internal communication across the network. So that has been rolled out, and we have admins at each of the stations, either the operational manager, if they have one, and definitely all the program directors who are there to help verify the hours and assist anybody as they're signing up. So we've had quite a bit of success in people signing up for that. And it'll be very, very helpful, as I said, as we get ability to track those in-kind hours, and then also for the upcoming elections. We also have quite a few station highlights that are in the ED report. KPFA had their winter fund drive. The goal was $450,000. They reached $408,000. They had a Grateful Dead marathon, which was successful and raised $39,000. And they also were able to get 351 new monthly donors, pledges that were coming in as sustainers. So that was great. They also have some wonderful events that are coming up. KPFA will be celebrating its 77th birthday on April 15th. They're kicking off their birthday event with a drive that day. Their goal is $30,000, and they're going to have special programming that is promoting the documentary that was created about KPFA a while ago called KPFA On the Air. The day will also have a panel discussion and interviews with people about the film. And then thank you gifts for people that donate that day will include access to the KPFA On the Air documentary screening, which will be at KPFA's 77th birthday party. And that party is on April 18th. They are not only going to have special screenings of KPFA On the Air, but also of Amy Goodman's Steal the Story, Please, her documentary. And she's been very, very helpful to all of the stations across the network, providing tickets as thank you gifts for our donors, going on the stations and helping talk about the history of Pacifica and Democracy Now. And we're doing everything we can to help her get the word out of this documentary that she has, Steal the Story, Please. So on April 18th, that will be airing a screening with KPFA at the Alameda Theater and Cineplex at the California Historical Radio Society Museum. So if you are in Berkeley, please go to their website and think about joining their birthday party. They are also having a live music fundraising event with the John Santos Sextet on May 23rd. KPFK is also having a special screening of Steal This Story, Please on April 17th. They are, Amy will be in attendance at that event, and there will also be a Q&A following the event with Amy and also with filmmakers Carl Deal and Tia Lisson. KPFT also had a birthday party on March 29th. They had a fundraising birthday party event that was there for their 56th birthday, and it was a crawfish boil and jamboree. So they had a wonderful group that was there. They had a large crowd. They had music, beverage, food, and as the general manager said, plenty of fun. On April 18th, they are having their third annual Blues Cruise, which I've heard wonderful things about this as well. It is a blues cruise aboard a party boat that cruises Clear Lake. They're going to have food, music, and food, drinks, and music by DJ Nuri of the Blues. So if anybody's in Houston, get on the Blue Cruise. WBAI, their April Spring Fund Drive is going on right now. It started April 1st. It goes through the end of the month. They have a goal of $120,000. So I'll be able to update everybody on what was raised during that. WBAI has mostly been focusing on being the leader within the live journalism and live stories that they're producing. And they, the leader, you know, as I said, in this national news coverage, and then also with these news, news highlights, the 5-minute news highlights. But this past month, they delivered approximately 20 hours of live national breaking news coverage, which is great because they have a great team that's been able to respond rapidly to unfolding events and then provide in-depth real-time reporting on critical national and international issues. And because we have this great team of people that are meeting every week, when something is breaking live, they're able to talk to each other over Slack and figure out who's covering what. Shall we cut into this? I'm covering this. You know, you cover that. So it's great to see these conversations going back and forth across the country as we can get these live events that are happening on the air. WPFW has their spring drive that's coming up May 3rd through May 16th. Their goal will be $250,000. They're having a great month this month with Jazz Appreciation Month. So from April 1st through May 16th, they are going to be airing, well, their Jazz Appreciation Month is April 1st through April 13th. But what they're also promoting is on, with the celebration of the Jazz History Month, they're airing No Regrets, The Music and Spirit of Billie Holiday, which is a 13-part radio documentary series that's going to be airing every Wednesday at 5 p.m. and every Thursday at 2. So it sounds like a great, wonderful program. And then on the 8th, they are going to, again, following that same Jazz and Justice, they're doing a Jazz and Justice celebration from Strange Fruit to Joe Hill. It's an intersecting of artistry and activism of Billie Holiday and Paul Robeson. It's going to be part of their pre-drive programming, and it's going to be honoring the birthdays of both Miss Holiday and Mr. Robinson. So that should be great programming as well on the 8th. And also thanks to Amy Goodman and Steal This Story, Please. WPFW is going to be hosting a special screening also of the documentary on May 2nd. And part of the thank you gifts that are associated with the fund drive and the fundraising with that is that following the screening, major donors will be invited to attend a private lunch with Amy in Washington, D.C. And then on May 26th, they're concluding their jazz event with a special programming honoring Miles Davis. So there's a lot of wonderful programs that are going out on all of our stations. So I know everybody is very partial to the station that they come from or that's part of their, you know, town, but really do try to make an effort to listen to the other stations if you have that opportunity, either through the websites or through the apps. So every station has an app right now, except WBAI. We're building it now, and we're in a testing phase this morning, so we hopefully will be able to roll out the complete WBAI app soon. But do try to make an effort to listen to the other stations, because it's great to kind of hear the individualism of all of our stations and how strong they all are, but yet we're all focused on the same mission. So, and everything else I think we would talk about maybe in confidential.
And there are a few questions, I imagine. First, I want to just say kudos to all of the people, Ursula, Bob, and people at all the stations who are making the collaborative programming happen. I think it's very, very impressive. Are there questions for Stephanie? I've got actually a couple of questions. One is, I know that there are some conversations about how we activate development efforts for major donors and for grants. Would you talk a little bit about the structure that is needed for stations working with the national office?
Yes, and my background is in, you know, development, fundraising, major donors, principal gifts, transformational gifts, you know, all that kind of thing. So it's second nature to me when I hear about a donor that's given money, or when I ask a station, can I have a list of donors that have given 5,000 or more? Or who's your low hanging fruit? I've been faced with people going, what? You know, I'm not too sure what that means. And so it dawned on me, it probably should have dawned on me a couple of years ago, but it dawned on me probably 6 months ago, is that we have a network that have wonderful staff of people that know radio. And radio is their passion. They do a great job of that. But not everybody has experience in the nonprofit world. And so when I've been talking with the development people at stations, it's usually individuals that are doing the on-air fund drives. And as I've had one-on-ones with people about the on-air fund drives, there's a big difference between raising money on the air and raising money off the air. And it isn't the same job. And so many of our on-air fund drive people are called the development officer or the development person at the station, and they know how to do fund drives really well on the air. But when they're asked to work with donors or write grants or do off-air fundraising, that's a whole different game. So I've been meeting again with the people that are in those roles and defining to them the difference between on-air and off-air, and again putting together a team of people that want to start moving and learning how to cultivate donors, how to recognize who might be a donor that can give at a greater capacity, or what can we do to steward and better thank the donors that we have? And that includes our listeners as well, because our listeners that donate and their members, they're donors. Yes, they're a member of Pacifica, but they donate their money to be there. So there's quite a few stations. There's a couple of mostly WPFW has been great as far as sitting down and working with me writing grants. And when they have a grant that they want to write, I have a grant database that anybody can have access to within the station, but we have to work on it together so we don't have multiple stations applying for funding at the same time, at the same place. And also that I could be the one that signs a grant because I'm the one that, you know, we're the one that we have one 501c3, and that has bit us in the butt a little bit before when somebody has signed a grant that shouldn't have signed a grant, or we've had two stations that have been applying for funding from the same place, or I've applied for funding and then somebody else has applied for funding at the same foundation. And then the foundation calls me and says, basically, what's up? So what we're doing is that I'm putting together a group of individuals that are interested and focused on major gift fundraising outside of the station, you know, outside of on the air, that involves learning how to write grants. And as I said, I Zoom very often with people from WPFW and also recently KPFK, sitting down and writing grants together, doing research on foundations, teaching the staff what does it mean to apply for a grant. Here's what you look for in an organization's 990. Here's what you see, how, you know, who they've given to in the past. Do we fall into their categories? That kind of thing. And then I've also in the process of creating an impact report, which is kind of a smaller version of an annual report that then I want to be able to send out to a lot of our major donors so they can see where have we been, where are we now, where are we going, and how your money and your support will help us. And the only way we can do that is if we work together as a team. So I'm hoping too that I'll be able to get some volunteers as well that are interested in grant writing or who are grant writers themselves or who love research, because every time there is a foundation or a person, an individual, a corporation, somebody that we want to try to ask for money, we have to kind of, as I always say, put on my Nancy Drew hat. I have my little Nancy Drew book here, but put on my little Nancy Drew hat and kind of look to see who are these people? Who do they give to? Let's look at their taxes. Let's look at their history. What parties did they attend? You know, it's just kind of a little research and putting a package together as to who this person is, who this foundation is, who this company is, and how do they fit into our mission. And so where I'm hoping that we have some people at the stations already that I'm working with, and then I'm hoping to be able to expand that out to volunteers who would be interested and willing to go through just kind of a training, grant writing 101, and what kind of goes through my head when I'm doing research to get funding. So hopefully there'll be people that will want to help in that capacity.
We've had a couple of people on the stack, but we've also had some people join us. First, the people who've joined us. Kaja? Say hello, please.
Hello, please.
Great. Jerome Edge?
Yep, right here.
Great, great. Avelia Jones?
I'm here.
Great. And we're still hoping to hear from Harvey.
I'm here.
Yay, good, good. And we have two on the stack. First was Minerva and second is Serene. Minerva?
Madam Chair, there are 4 minutes left in this section.
Thank you. Excellent. Minerva, then Serene.
Okay, and good evening, everyone. Stephanie, thank you for the report. It's very informative and good information to take back to the different stations. I am so proud regarding Shayna. She is a wonderful young lady, and she has made herself available to WPFW. Wherever she's needed, she's there. So, you know, I do want to say at this time, thank you. You made a very good choice. Take care.
Thank you.
Serene.
Hi, Stephanie. Back in, I think it was 2024, you had promised the PNB would get the FCC training that the network staff had gotten. And I'm wondering when we'll actually have that happen. Also, I'd like to know when the PNB or the interested members of the PNB can get a demonstration of this new database that OSS has created that's going to be used to determine who's qualified as staff?
Sure. I mean, I don't know if it's, well, I'll talk with John about the training for the FCC because he's the one that schedules all of that. So that would be his decision for that. And then as far as the database, I mean, I can do screenshots. It literally is like a directory. You sign in, you register, you put in your name and what you do, what station you work for, and then you get verified by the person that you report to. And then that's it. It's not, I mean, I can share this login and share the screen at some point if you want. I mean, our screenshots.
Let's do a screen. Let's display it on the screen at our next PMB meeting.
Okay.
Myla?
Can you tell me, Stephanie, I haven't seen that database.
Please louder, Myla.
Oh, sorry about that. Is that better?
Yes.
Oh, good. I'm just wondering, I am staff, volunteer programmer, and I haven't seen the database. I'm assuming, has it been rolled out for KPFK?
Yes, and I'll reach out to the general, to Maggie, and also to the staff that's handling that, because there are emails that have been going out to me that basically says, please cut and paste and give this to all of your program staff and your volunteers. And that's been one email a week, including a Zoom training that has been going on since March. I think the first email went out March 10th, because we've been giving people ample time. A new email just got sent out 2 days ago, reminding everybody to register, giving them directions how to do it, and thanking those that have. So I'll send you, Myla, that email directly as soon as I'm done here, so you can get the information on what you need to do to log in.
Great.
Thank you. I think we're at time. Let's go ahead to committee reports. And let's start with audit, Minerva Sanders.
Okay, again, good evening, everyone. The audit committee has been meeting, and we did meet to put together a motion that will be coming to the PMB tonight regarding selecting an auditing group. Which will come in the executive session. Let's see here. In gathering information and going back to the committees to ask questions, we were given some answers which helped us, move in the direction that we're going. I want to thank everyone on the audit committee for the hard work that they've done and their ability to interact together and work as a group to get this information so that we can present it to the full board. Let's see. What else? I think those are the main items that we address. Are there any questions?
I suggest we hold questions until executive session.
Okay. Thank you, Susan.
Myla?
Yeah, I have a follow-up.
Please talk louder, Myla.
Okay. Sorry about that. I have a follow-up. I am wondering, are individuals who are contracted by the station to work on shows, will they also be signing in and eligible to vote? If they aren't directly...
You're posing the question to Stephanie, is that correct? It's hard to hear you.
Hold on, let me see if I can fix my audio. Wow. Is this better?
Yes.
Good, okay. I'm wondering, there are a couple of people who've been working on our on the show I work on, produce.
Let me ask you to take this separately with Stephanie?
No, I think that this is an important question, Susan. I apologize, but the question is, are people who are independent contractors who are working on Pacifica programming eligible to possibly vote in elections?
Well, we have independent contractors, meaning like you had a volunteer that you said that's working with you.
Not a volunteer. Someone who had been hired by the station as an independent contractor to do production work on our show.
They are doing work for the station. Yes, they should be filling out the application. They should be filling out the timesheet because they're probably doing more hours than they're probably doing quite a few volunteer hours.
Not volunteer hours. They're being
paid staff votes.
Correct.
They're paid contractors.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Finance
staff
committee.
Are two different things.
They're two. Yeah, that's Serene is correct on that. That's something that, I mean, that's probably not at this conversation, but the NES, because a contractor is not a staff member. So there's staff members that are paid, and then there's volunteers that volunteer their time as programmers. But if we open it up to, and again, this is an NES question, but if we open it up to paid contractors, then if we hypothetically brought in a plumber, and we paid him as a contractor to do work at a station.
But
is he considered staff?
But not working on programming. That's the
correct, but it's still a contractor. We'd have to have a definition of what is a contractor.
We have six more minutes for all these reports. This is a bigger question.
I know we have somebody at KPFT to whom this pertains. So let's talk about the issue of contractors and eligibility to vote. Okay, Finance Committee, Fred.
Hello. So the Finance Committee had a couple of bumps. Our regular scheduled meeting, unfortunately, we were not able to get on several weeks ago. We were historically meeting the second and fourth Tuesday of every month. That has changed. And we are now only meeting on the fourth Tuesday of every month, but we are available when needed on the other Tuesdays with one week's notice. The last meeting we had was to look at a number of things, one of which was there was a request for a recording from the executive session regarding the WBAI budget. And the decision on that was a executive meeting, and that was the people that participated did not authorize it being shared. And so the request to share the audio has been denied. Additionally, we looked at the Pacific Foundation document retention and destruction policy, which was basically all required, issues, all required, processes and procedures, and we approved that. There was really not any option for us not to approve it, and it looked fine. It was fine. There was a policies and procedure manual, which I looked at, but unfortunately, there were only two people on the NFC that had looked at that, so that has been rescheduled for our next month's meeting, tabled to the next month's meeting. For everybody's information, there was the WBAI budget was approved and was sent to the PNB and has been approved by the PNB, but I keep getting questions about that, so let me reassert that. I also need to say that we are looking at the next meeting, not just the financial policies and procedures, but we're looking at the central services fees and who's paid and who hasn't paid and how it's all working. I don't really have up-to-date information on that. What I've got is something that is a year old, and so I'm hoping that I'll get before the next meeting some up-to-date central service payments, because I have been told through the grapevine that that basically, especially in the case of KPFA, it's actually paid in full. It's not half paid, even though the last statement from March of 5th of 2025 says we only paid half. That there was a offset from another funding. I guess we had KPFK had paid a bill that was never going to get repaired by the network, and it was applied to central services. I need to say something pretty clear, because there, it turns out that there are several finance committees that are currently acting. And I need to, I sent this out to everybody and I'll send, I want to say it here in this meeting as well. Terrestrial stations of Pacifica are not financially independent. They are, there is no independent financial authority at any of this station. There are no remaining treasurers for any Pacific station, although those who were treasurers were allowed to keep that title until the next election. That position was actually eliminated by the new bylaws of 2025. All finances are through the national offices and monitored by the ED, the PNB, and the NFC. All stations' finance committees have been, they're allowed to continue as a volunteer committee, but they don't have the ability or the need to call for the general manager to spend their time addressing that particular issue. That can be addressed at the finance committee and through the PNB. All official LSV meetings, no matter what they're called, if they're official meetings, have to be notified and have to be recorded, and the recordings have to be put up. And the reason I say this, I keep getting people contacting me and saying that there has been some statements made that are problematic and that could cause us legal problems. And we need to make sure that if that's the case, that we stop that, and that we need to actually find out whether that is the case or not. Personal aspersions of any individuals or groups of people are considered to be problematic, and that ended up in a $300,000 assessment to the network the last time that happened. And so I would like to reassert that all official meetings of any committees have to be recorded and notified. That's pretty much it.
Madam Chair, we have 40 seconds left.
Okay. I suggest that we extend long enough to hear from the Governance Committee, because I think that there is a motion to be considered. There
Madam
are two
Chair,
of us who have our hands up.
Fred Dodsworth. I have a question for Fred.
Please speak louder. You and Myla speak very softly.
Yeah, I could actually hear Myla just fine.
Good.
I have a question for Fred.
Go ahead.
Okay, so I had not had a chance to go back and listen to the archive of the last meeting, but I'm told that you made a statement that there are no longer any business managers in Pacifica, national or local. Can you verify that for me?
That's what I've been told, and I welcome anybody saying otherwise.
So what happened to the business managers that we had?
We didn't have any. Well, it's not my place to answer that question. We don't have business managers. We don't have the money to pay them, is what I've heard through the PNB.
There's a business manager at KPFA. I'm not sure where else.
Well, we have a national business manager.
That's
yes,
correct.
There's the national business manager, but the stations, I think the only station that has a station business manager is KPFA, and it used to be that there was a business manager at each station.
Is that what you meant, Fred?
I think it's pretty clear, Serene.
I'm sorry. What did you say?
I said I think it's pretty clear. I think that that was asked and answered.
Okay, James, I have a question.
Wait a second. I'm saying that's not a new position. So why was the statement made as though there were
Serene, enough.
In our setup?
We have answered you. That's enough. Okay, the question I have, or the comment I have, is that the September 2025 consolidated reports have been sent out. You should be able to see them at your LSBs. James Sagerton?
Thank you, Chair. I wanted to ask Fred a couple of things, and one of them was, did I hear correctly in you saying that volunteer finance committees are okay, but they don't have any right to demand the attention of, or the time of the general manager, which I believe has always been the case. Some general managers have been more forthcoming than others, but, you know, there's never, I don't think we've ever had the right to demand attendance at a finance committee by a general manager. But is that your understanding of the situation, that those volunteer committees can proceed as is?
That is my understanding, that there are, in fact, two finance committees that are existing. One is the WBAI one, and one is the WPFW one. But there may be others. I was not able to ascertain that.
Thank you very much. That's appreciated.
Okay, moving on to the governance committee. Julie?
Sorry, I'm using a foreign setup. So the governance committee met on March 19th, and I had everything right here in front of me. Okay, so we did a couple of things. We passed a motion that governance committee motions need to be in writing, whether they're sent in advance, you know, via email, or if they're put in the meeting chat, but they have to be sent to everybody on the committee. And so anyway, there's that. Not a big deal to everybody else. We're inviting people at different stations to submit to the committee questions that we could add to a Pacifica survey. Stephanie has talked about doing a survey of members, listeners, to hear, you know, where they think we might, you know, what we're doing well, what we could improve on, that sort of thing. And so we're looking for additional questions on that. We talked about that we did not do this, but coming up with a motion for penalties for, you know, sort of a, kind of like a proactive thing, that we would, penalties for anyone who, you know, obstructs or otherwise impedes, Pacifica's ability to finish the audits. And so it would be something like, you know, a minor offense would get a minor punishment, a more major offense would get a more major punishment, but mostly it's just about, and like I said, we didn't do this. So I don't have any examples to give you, but it's just about putting everybody on notice to, you know, understand that this is serious and real for Pacifica. And then we passed a motion, which I have pasted in the chat now, passed a motion, that was a bit basically intended to come to the PMB. That's actually, now that I'm thinking about it, sounds an awful lot like what Fred was just talking about in terms of LSBs, but, and LSB committees, but, to request that all LSBs send copies to the Pacifica Recording Secretary of minutes and or audio recordings for all LSB and LSB committee meetings, including town halls for 2025 and 2026, and links about where the materials for these can be found online. So, we passed that motion at the governance committee, and we passed it. I mean, I didn't read the very beginning part of that motion, but it says the governance committee asked the PMB to request that all local station boards.
So that constitutes a motion from the governance committee. Yep. Is there a second?
Back we up. Don't need a second.
That's right. Thank you very much, Julie. Oops. So is there any discussion? Oh, and let me note that Teresa is here. Teresa? Please.
Thank you. Yes, I'm here. Thank you for your patience.
Okay. Is there any discussion of that motion? Okay, I see hands.
I have a question.
Serene and James.
So I know KPFA, I think it is, only posts their minutes on their own website. I thought KPFTS was supposed to be the official reservoir of all governance things. So we should try to straighten that out. The other thing is that at the committee meeting, your statement was that survey questions should be sent to the ED. Are you now saying they should be sent to the committee?
No, I'm saying they should be sent to the ED. I don't know what I said a minute ago. I meant to say ED.
Yeah, you misspoke. That's fine.
Okay, James?
Wait, I'm asking about the correction about sending a link to where it can be found. The place it should be found should be on kpftx.org.
We'll investigate that and consider it when we have gathered up the records that everybody has at the LSB. And Serene, that is the answer.
Yeah.
James?
But
James?
I sense because of an electronic sound I heard that Serena's cut off, but I didn't think she was finished. I was demurring to her. But so my question is, we're going to be sending these minutes and recordings to the recording secretary. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, and then, but they'll also continue to go to KPFTX and continue to be posted.
Yes.
And do you want past meetings to the recording secretary or just current?
Past, 2025 and 2026.
Okay. And, all right. We've had some issues with getting our stuff posted or having people understand where they're posted on KPFTX at WBAI. So I just want to say for everyone's benefit here, for the WBAI meetings, the postings are in the archive, and the postings are listed right below the announcement of the meeting. And if you click on that, you get to the meeting. And then, we'll deal with the past
And James, we're trying to achieve consistency across the stations. There currently is not. So we know that the records are being kept, and so everybody can find them similarly. Fred?
Big fan. Thank you.
Like James, I'm a big fan of that. And our station, unfortunately, suffered a $300,000 loss due to a problem of that nature. And I want to make sure that that doesn't happen ever again. And that's why it's so important to actually hear what's on the recordings. I had heard a number of things that I was not comfortable with, and I was actually able to speak with Otis and find the WBAI Finance Committee meetings, or at least one of them, and listen to that. And I was happy to hear that it was all above board and functionally correct and appropriate. And I would like to see that with all the committees and all the town halls.
And all stations. Absolutely. So is there any objection to that motion?
None.
Hearing none, it passes. Okay.
Madam Chair.
I'll just say Personnel Committee, we will be lining up time basically once all the audit questions are done.
Madam Chair, we are, depending on how you want to count the beginning of it, we are either at or 3 minutes away from time certain on the public part of the meeting.
Okay. Affiliates report.
Chair, this is James.
Yes.
I accidentally got muted, or I don't know exactly what happened, but I was trying to speak to let people know that the meeting that Fred is referring to, he did say it is available at KPFTX, but I also sent the PNB a transcript of the relevant part. So if people check their emails, they'll see it close to the top of the list for a partial transcript of that meeting for understanding.
Thank you for your follow through. Okay. Kaja Jerome affiliates.
Hey, Jerome, Kaja, how do you want? Yeah. Do you want me to do the full?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. All right, everybody, pulling that up here. A report from the Pacifica Affiliate Network Unit put out by Ursula, April 2nd, 2026. Finances projected revenues from 2026 fees. Affiliate IT service fees, $236,500. The annual affiliate fee for several stations was reduced by a significant amount due to their loss of CPB funding. Revenue received from affiliate fees and internet technology services subscriptions are as follows. October, $13,246. November, $37,505. December, $26,630. January, $20,460. February, $24,695. And March, $9,803, with a bank balance totaling $76,000 even. Received year-to-date fiscal year 2026 affiliate revenue and IT services, $123,215, or 52% of projected 2026 revenue. Most affiliates pay on a quarterly basis, approximately $4,000 in outstanding affiliate fees from fiscal years 2025 and before remains to be collected. Efforts continue to collect these fees. The network unit has received donations of nearly $9,000 fiscal year to date. Sales of Pacifica t-shirts fiscal year to date at approximately $300. Agreements were sent to approximately 34 field reporters for coverage of their No Kings protest on March 28th. Funding was provided by the National News Fund at Pacifica National, thanks to Robert Henley for arranging a significant amount of the funding. Pacificaster, the last significant work before public use, is building online stores for payment of accounts at the website. New affiliates. WGSL, a LPFM in Lee, Massachusetts, belonging to CTSB, Community Public Access Television. Pacifica Network News, during the past month, affiliate network manager Ursula Rudenberg was officially hired along with Robert Henley, WBAI manager, to coordinate development of network news for Pacifica. We have regular weekly meetings with Pacifica unit managers, programming, and new staff. Executive Director Stephanie Wells, Technology and Compliance Officer John Almella, and other staff participating in developing news. These are wonderful opportunities for skilled minds of Pacifica staff to cooperatively build high-quality production. Starting at the beginning of March, we will collectively launch a daily headline news service coming from WBAI in the morning, WPFW at noon, and KPFA at 5 p.m. all times Eastern. On March 28th, WBAI, WPFW, KPFK, KPFA, and the affiliate unit collaborated to bring 8 hours of coast-to-coast coverage of the No Kings protest, including sound stages in St. Paul and San Francisco. Working with them were 36 field reporters from affiliate stations and 3 hosting sites at partnering media groups. KFAI, Fresh Air Radio in Minneapolis, Minnesota, WFNU-LP in St. Paul, KGNU, Rocky Mountain Community Radio in Boulder, Colorado. So many thanks to Robert Henley for the funding he was able to raise for paying those working with us. Currently, we are preparing to cover May Day demonstrations, develop systems for handling breaking news coverage, and in the long term, develop a nightly newscast of 30 to 60 minutes. We have added a coordinator who works with the affiliate unit for outreach to affiliate reporters, promotional content development, promotional content development. She is Jeannie Hopper from New York, who is the former program director at WBAI and currently has been a producer for the Laura Flanders Show. And that's the report.
Jerome, great, great. It's so exciting to hear everything that the affiliate is doing. Kaja, do you have anything to add?
No.
He stole your thunder. Okay, I see 2 hands up. Serene?
Hi, thanks for reading that report, Jerome. I have three quick things. One is, can that report be regularly sent to the board without a request? Maybe Ursula can just send it to the board. That's one. Two, I'd like to know who the member stations are of the Association of Affiliates, since under the 2025 bylaws, the PNB is mandated to, quote, elect the two people that the association is going to be allowed to nominate, and only people from that the association nominates can be on the newly described PNB. And I would like to know which stations are affiliating by taking programming, and if so, which program or programs, you know, at least initially, and which stations are affiliating because they're getting technical support.
Okay, that's four different questions. Is there a possibility that you could email them to me and I can get those answers for you?
Absolutely. And maybe reply.
I asked Stephanie a couple of them and didn't get anything back. But
so sure. Why don't you go ahead and send it to Kaja and he'll reply to all of us.
I just answered him and said yes.
Great. James.
Yes, I just wanted to thank Jerome for the delivery of that report in such a dynamic and dramatic radio voice. Nicely done.
Yeah, you're very welcome.
You ought to be in radio. Okay. I think we're a little time after, but I will accept a motion to go into closed session and we are now at 9:38.
So moved.
Is there any objection? Hearing none, we're going into a closed session. And I'm going to suggest that we not take a break, that because we can just get things done. Julie, can you take us off the stream?